There are very few things that investors can do that are free. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, saving strategies, financial planning, topical items of interest, and maybe even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to Free Lunch, hosted by the CM Group. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty to help clients achieve their vision through a deep understanding of what is important to them that requires planning, money, and time. Learn more and subscribe today at markets-work.com.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Greg and Colin. Greg, we are closing in on episode 200 here. I think we're just a couple away, so that's pretty cool.
Not bad.
We're going to celebrate that moment when it comes, I'm sure. What will we do for that?
Maybe celebrate with a delightful Java from Starbucks.
Just like we do every day.
Right.
Every other day. So listen, Greg, last week, you know, we talked about service, the importance of service, whether it be in investment management or other areas of your life. And one of the things that we've come across many times in doing planning with our investors, our clients, has been around debt. Debt is that thing that you can put your head in the sand, but it doesn't just go away. You got to do something about it. So for that, we have a guest joining us today, a guy named Brad Nelson, known as the Debt-Free Dad. He runs his own podcast called Debt-Free Dad. He also has a website called therealdebtfreedad.com. And Brad, welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Greg and Colin. Glad to be here.
Just before we get into the meat of it, where are you joining us from today, Brad?
I am born and raised in the southeast corner of Wisconsin. I've lived here my whole life. I actually live about an eighth of a mile from the Great Lake, Michigan. So I could pretty much throw a rock to it where I live right now. And there's always some good things living that close to the lake. We have this crazy weather here. Yesterday was like summertime, 77 degrees here, which obviously I know you guys are up in Canada, so that's obviously Fahrenheit down here. But today I woke up 15 degrees. It's crazy. And snow on the ground, right?
Colin and I both grew up in Saskatchewan, which is reasonably close to the southern border, our southern border, not yours.
Your northern border.
Yeah, your northern border. So we've experienced some of those wild winter swings as well.
Well, the other thing we experienced is they tried to build a wall on that border.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
that was the other border.
Oh. That's the other one.
Okay, we got to keep that clear. Okay. Right. Well, listen, welcome to the show. And maybe just before we dive into some specific questions, maybe you can just give us an idea of how you got started. How did you end up where you are today?
For me, I lived kind of the typical consumeristic lifestyle for many years, all the way through my late teens and even my early 30s. So I pretty much just went into debt like most people, lots of credit card debt, car payments, student loans, got a house when I shouldn't have bought a house because I had no business affording a house. I literally had no money to buy a house and had to actually borrow money from my own grandmother to do the repairs on the house that I had bought because it was like this fixer-upper. Did really well for myself from a career standpoint. I was in the sign industry, made a pretty decent salary, especially for someone who didn't have like a formal bachelor's degree education or anything like that, an associate's degree in graphic design. And I did pretty well. Got myself into sales, started really loving working with people. But it seemed like I got in this lifestyle creep. The more money I would make, the more money I would spend, the more debt I would have. I just started to realize the older I got, the more stressed about this I was getting. A lot of people might make this mistake and say, well, the older I get, the more money I'm going to make, the easier things are going to get. And as I'm just going to say from my experience, the older I've gotten, life has become more complicated, in my opinion. In those late 20s, especially, I really started to feel the crunch. I was kind of at the ceiling in my career. And I knew based on my salary, there was no way I was going to be able to make a career change and go someplace else without losing a good chunk of my salary. Well, I had signed up for so many debt and payments, like I was stuck. And that job, earning that paycheck just to pay all those bills. I just got tired of that feeling. I wanted to run a business or open a business in my lifetime at some point. I wasn't really quite sure exactly what that was, but I just knew. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to have an opportunity to do that without really taking control of my finances, paying off these credit cards, being able to start putting some money away. And I wasn't saving for retirement. I wasn't doing anything. Didn't have any money for emergencies, nothing. I was literally living paycheck to paycheck. Nearly 7 out of 10 people now are living that way. I lived that life very many years. And so I finally just was like, okay, my first marriage was ending and there's a lot of things involved with that marriage ending, but money played a significant role. Money is a really hot topic in a lot of relationships. It was at this point, I had a 2-year-old son. I was losing my house to foreclosure. This was during the 2008, 2009, 2010, the whole housing bust that happened. And I bought at the high end. Well, then the housing bust happened. And then all of a sudden now I could not sell that house for what we owed on it. So I had to foreclose because I didn't have any options. Neither one of us could afford the payment on our own. Luckily, we were able to short sell it. But that was kind of a big wake up call to me. Like, wow, my financial life is really just a house of cards that I've built. I just don't want to live like that anymore. So I went out on what I call was a personal finance crusade. And I just started doing self-education, listening to podcasts like you guys put out, learning from other people who are doing this differently. And I just started doing that stuff. And about 4 or 5 years later, I became debt-free. And crazy enough, along the way, people just started asking me for help. I was talking about how much less stress I had. I actually had money in the bank. I was paying off my credit cards. And like people were just coming out of the woodwork saying, I'm struggling with the same stuff that you were struggling with. Can you help me? I just accidentally got into this. It wasn't really a plan. And I fell in love with just helping people because this has such a ripple effect on your life, not just your finances, but really the rest of your life. When you got control over your finances, it's amazing the level up you get in the rest of your life. And that's what I fell in love with, was helping people. And I started thinking about opening this business. I opened it up back in 2015. And by 2016, I replaced my full-time income. And I've been doing this full-time now for 8+ years, which is crazy. I can't even believe that.
Well, as you say, obviously there's a need for the advice you're providing. And I've got kids that are maybe somewhere between millennial and Gen Z. How do kids get started? Like in your case, you had a real problem and you came up with a plan to address it, and you did address it. And we hope to hear how you did that. But with kids that have not had to experience what you did, how do you instill in them? How do you teach a behavior of planning and saving and not spending every penny you have because it's there?
I think a lot of it comes just by, as parents, being proactive and responsible with your finances. I think a lot of it can seep through to them by just listening and watching us as parents. I hear this time and time again from people I'll interview on our podcast. We'll have our members come on and they've had these great results. And I'll say, how did you learn about money growing up? And they're like, we didn't. Everything that we were taught about money was from a negative standpoint. We were always broke. We're never going to have money for this. You're always going to have credit cards. Like, it's just that constant paycheck to paycheck mindset. So they're like, I didn't know any better. I just thought this is how this stuff worked. And so I think for us as parents, it's good for us to take control of our finances, because you are then beginning the process of changing the next generation in your family of how to run this stuff. I would say for me, that's probably been the biggest thing. I'll ask my kids questions about money and basic things. I've got a 14-year-old, obviously. I've got a 5-year-old, is a little young yet. With my 14-year-old, I'll ask him some basic things. And I'm like, how did you learn that? He's like, I listened to you talk about it. I've listened to you and I've watched you do it. I think there's just some simple things that you can do. And also, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in life where there's these teachable moments. It doesn't have to be sit down, let's go through a budget line by line, which you should when they get older, but just having these teachable moments throughout life. When you're going to the ATM, this is a perfect one. A lot of people just think, a lot of kids might just think, well, that money just comes from an ATM. Let's teach them, where does that money really come from? Well, the money first comes from work. I have to make that money first. Then we put it into this bank. So you can have a lot of these discussions just going through daily life. Or if there's something they want at the store, instead of saying we can't afford that, instead say we just don't have that in our financial plan or our budget this month, but let's think of some ways that you could put it in yours. How could you afford to buy that thing? How could you start putting money away and saving some of those things? So I think a lot of it just comes from just those simple, basic conversations on a regular basis, where you can instill a lot of these simple, good, healthy principles into your kids.
We had that in our household when our kids were younger. Didn't realize how much they listened to us until they started swearing. Then you realized, oh, I got to watch what I'm doing here. But a conversation that we've had with our kids over the years, my kids are 20 and almost 18 now. Well, first off, they don't know struggle the way that I knew struggle growing up. I came from a household that didn't have a lot of money. And it's not that we didn't have food on the table, but there just weren't a lot of extras available. And my kids don't really know that struggle. And I worry about that. And we have this conversation about, do you want that or do you need that? Because those are two very different things. How would you have those discussions with your clients, friends, or colleagues about struggle and want versus need?
First, it kind of comes down to goals. That's where a lot of people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and even with your kids, is what are the things that you want? What are the things that you truly want? And I think in a world that we live in, there are so many wants out there. But what do you really want? Like, let's really dive deep into what kind of a life do you want to build? And then what things do you need in your life to have that? What things? So people living paycheck, especially me, when I was living paycheck to paycheck, it's like squirrel mentality. It's the next shiny object. Oh, I got to have this and I got to have this and I got to have that. But now today, being debt free now for 11 plus years and having a really good sense of what I want my life to be and what I need in my life, it's so much easier to say no to a lot of the wants out there. They're cool. Sure, they look great. And they would be really nice to have. But you want to know what's nicer for me? I live my life based off time freedom. Is this going to give me more time in my life or less time by owning this thing? And that to me has done away with so much material stuff that's out there because I'm focused on just wanting time. Like for instance, people who buy boats or buy these toys and stuff, it takes time to have hobbies. It takes time to manage and take care of all of those things. For me, those are easy. Just no, I'm not going to do that because I can see the opportunity cost behind owning a lot of those things and taking care of those things and having those things and managing those things. I don't want any of those things. Now, for somebody else, they may want to. And then that's a different decision for them. But I think it comes down to just establishing, even when you got kids, what are some small-term goals? What are some long-term goals? I mean, you guys talk about investing. It's the same thing. I invest monthly. There's times that I would much rather spend that money on something else today, but I know I'm going to want that money 30 years from now when I retire. So I'm going to sacrifice and delay gratification now because I want what the future is going to bring me 30 years from now. A lot of people are very loose in their goals when they're living paycheck to paycheck or they're not really paying attention to their finances. They might say, I want to pay off debt or I want to save more money or I want to go on this vacation, but they don't really have any sort of clear deadline-driven, number-driven goals where this is what we want and this is how we're going to go about getting it. It's just a very loose thing.
It sounds like a very down-to-earth, very reasonable approach. When you're talking with people, I think you mentioned earlier before we started, just the large number of people in North America living paycheck to paycheck. How do they get started? How do they start digging themselves out of a debt hole when you're living paycheck to paycheck and seemingly there's not a lot of wasteful spending?
I'd say it's two reasons. About 6-7 months ago, they came out with this number. Over 70% of the American population say that their number one source of stress is money. Working with thousands of people over the years, I feel like where a lot of that stress comes from people who are living paycheck to paycheck is just they have no idea what's going in and they have no idea what's coming out. Another statistic, a little over 50% of the millennial generation has no idea what's going on in their bank account. And all of that creates stress and anxiety because then all of a sudden emergency pops up and it's like, how are we going to deal with this? And it's panic and it's just constant living crisis to crisis. So one of the first things that I'll recommend to people is, this is just anybody who comes and says, where should I get started? Number one thing, let's start figuring out where your money's going. Where have you been spending it? What money you got coming in? So go back and print out the last 3 to 6 months of your statements. Let's look at your bank statements. Let's look at your savings. Let's look at your credit cards. Let's look at your PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, anywhere you're spending money. And let's print those all out and then categorize all of those expenditures and figure out where it is. And you guys, there hasn't been one person that's come back to me that I've given this to and they said, I knew exactly where every dollar was going. It's usually quite the opposite where they're like, holy smokes, I didn't realize I was spending this much money on these apps that I have or going out to eat or whatever it might be. I mean, it's all over the place. I didn't realize we were spending this much money on prescriptions every single month or insurance. People just aren't really paying attention. What I think a lot of people, especially middle-income earners and even middle to higher-income earners, is that they start to realize once they see where the money's going, they do see with some simple changes, I could actually begin to save more money. I could actually begin to pay down some of our higher-interest credit card debt and make better progress. Once they see the dollars that are just sitting at their feet because they're just not managing that money intentionally. So once that's done, then it's all about just managing, setting up those good short-term, long-term goals. Big one also is behavior. A lot of people are in their situations, me included, because of habits, choices, and behaviors. It's not necessarily because they really can't get ahead. It's just because of all of the choices that they've made over the years that have brought them to where they are. So how can we correct that and get the pendulum to swing in the other direction? That's what we focus on a lot with Debt-Free Dad is let's work on changing the financial mindset. Let's improve those habits. Let's get out of this negative mindset of money. Let's start implementing just these simple things in your daily life. And it's amazing how much better people feel within just 60 to 90 days of doing this. They actually will feel tremendously better before they even start seeing big savings results or getting out of debt, because they start to see, this is a plan that's working. I'm actually making progress. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now it's just a matter of being consistent and having the discipline to keep it going. From there, it's about helping them. Building their emergency fund, super important. Arranging a debt payment plan or a debt payoff plan. I'm a huge fan of the debt snowball method. I think it's one of the most effective ways, at least in my opinion, and seeing people use these different methods that are out there, helping people get all of that stuff organized. And then it's all about the long-term plan of just being with them to give them that support and accountability to keep it going.
As you're just describing that, I think of the gym. I think of the parallels between, because oftentimes, usually around, I don't know, January 1st, people say things like, oh, I want to lose weight this year. It's the same thing. I want to pay off debt this year. They get a gym membership, which would be not paying off debt. That would be adding another expense, but that's another discussion. And then they go to the gym for a week. They don't see any progress. They give up on the gym. And by week two, there's actually something called National Quitters Day. It's around January 14th of every year. And they stop going, and then they continue to pay their gym membership for the rest of the year. It's kind of the same thing we just described in finances.
Absolutely. The American Academy of Training and Development actually did a study on this, and they found that you are 95% likely to complete a goal if you establish regular accountability appointments into your life, no matter what it is that you want to do. Could be investing, could be getting out of debt, could be going to the gym, it could be eating healthier. I mean, it could be a multitude of things. You are 95% more likely to put that support and accountability in there. That is where most people will fail. It's not because they don't have the income to get out of debt. It's not because they have too much debt. It's just because they aren't consistent enough to keep going. That is it. I think the other thing we have to fight too is, when society, especially today, everything is get it now. Everything is get it now. You can order things on Amazon, have it same day. I was talking to a gentleman in India. I was on his podcast. In India, you guys aren't going to believe this. Their requirement is, if you order online, you have to have it at their door within an hour of ordering it.
Oh my God.
An hour. And he's saying that we are experiencing a lot of people with major credit card debt because they are just consuming so much now. Absolutely. It is consistency, discipline, and accountability that makes the biggest difference long term.
I think there's a bit of a feedback loop that happens. You talked about how being in debt, for example, causes lots of stress and anxiety and depression, I'm sure. And I've noticed, even among people I know in my own family, that when you get depressed, you try to make yourself feel better by going out and buying something nice for yourself. In my daughter's case, it's shoes. She has more shoes than Imelda Marcos. And for any of our younger listeners, I mean, Imelda Marcos.
Yes, some people won't know who that is.
Imelda Marcos was a infamous politician in the Philippines who reportedly had 3,000 pairs of shoes. So how do you break that cycle of stress, anxiety, depression, and then purchasing to make yourself feel better? It's like eating things you shouldn't to deal with stress or depression, and spending money can be the same thing.
They call it doom spending, where they just don't feel like there's nothing that they do is going to make a difference. So why not just spend? That is the value of getting started with more of a guide. And I don't even want to say coach, but just even a community of people that are just doing this stuff different. It's challenging that. It's not easy. Let's just put it that way. It's not easy to get out of that spending habit. I had to break through it too. But I think one of the things that helped me the most was challenging that thinking and getting outside the box, and let's have some different conversations with some different people who are having success with their finances and how are they doing it. And by doing that, it opened up my mind to, like, I'm just making excuses for myself. I'm the one who's keeping me stuck because these other people are normal. They're doing it. Why can't I do it? And for me, that was huge in breaking that mindset of, these things are making me feel better right now temporarily. I want something that's going to make me feel good for the rest of my life. I'm tired of these quick fixes because they don't work. I think for me, it was getting around and having some different conversations with some different people. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we offer with our podcast. We are a bunch of normal people, and we're breaking that shell for a lot of people who come across this that are living paycheck to paycheck. And we're just saying, hey, look at us. There's nothing that's fancy about us. We live in normal houses. We drive normal cars. A lot of us have normal careers. We did it. So why can't you? And it's gradually getting yourself out of that. You don't do it right away. We'll have members that'll come in. They'll be like, in the first couple of weeks, they're like, I messed up my budget. I can't do this. And it's like, well, you're supposed to. You don't fix that stuff overnight. It takes time to correct those choices. It takes time to correct those behaviors. But with practice and consistency, you'll slowly get better. And even today, I'm not perfect at this. There is a human side and emotional side to finance, and we're going to mess it up at times. And that's okay. The more you practice it, the more you're going to get right. And the more you get right, the better your financial life is going to get over time.
Brad, do you ever give yourself permission to purchase certain wants that don't fall into your plan?
Sure. Yeah, this year especially. I lost my spouse about a year ago. So I've gone through just a lot of stuff this past year, just from a financial standpoint, and everything that we've practiced, everything that we've taught has really kind of shown up in my life, especially this past year. This past year, I did give her my permission to not follow the plan perfectly and to not necessarily go crazy, but to give myself permission. I got two kids. We're just going to go do this. I don't care. We planned for it. We had life insurance in place just in case this stuff was going to happen. And that's what some of that stuff is there for. Now, again, I was pushing heavy on the brakes. I haven't gone nuts by any means, but at the same time, I also wasn't really tight with it either. This was an opportunity. I felt that we don't need to be doing that right now. But I also did do some things. You know, I put money into investing, and I've done some really good things this past year too. I did allow myself the leeway to have some fun too, because we needed it desperately. In life, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there are times where it's not going to be perfect. And I tell our members this, you may go and start your budget for the month and then may realize something might come up and it might be a fun thing. It doesn't mean you have to say no, but let's figure it out without putting yourself further into financial stress and debt. Can you maneuver your budget around? Can you make it work where you can afford it and maybe put off some other goals? That's totally okay once in a while. I don't think there's anything wrong with those things.
I see it in things like the Super Bowl just happened a few weeks ago. A team that I cheer for, the Kansas City Chiefs, was in the Super Bowl. And somebody said, are you going to go to the Super Bowl? I said, well, the tickets are like $10,000. I think I'll just buy a new jersey instead. It was like $69. So to me, it was just making a decision to purchase something to support the game, the team. But it seemed ridiculous to spend $10,000 to go to a game.
That's a lot. I'm a big Green Bay Packer fan. I don't know. If they go to the Super Bowl, it could be tempting. I don't know.
Greg, what else do we got for Brad in the short amount of time we have left?
Just talking about creating habits. And one of the things from a behavioral economic standpoint is having automatic things happen, whether in the States you have retirement accounts, in Canada we have retirement accounts. Sometimes you put your own money in and sometimes the firm you work for will match and that kind of thing. And how do you encourage people to get these automatic saving strategies implemented? Whether it's, do you recommend people just right off the top 10% of your salary or some amount of money goes right into savings that is off limits essentially from spending? How do you recommend people do that?
I mean, everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different because there are some people that we have come in, their money's super tight. They don't have any flexibility to really do anything automatic. But within a period of time, within 6 to 12 months, we typically see a big turnaround in that where they do have that extra money. And we do encourage them to start using some ideas, things like automatic savings or sinking funds even. Like, hey, you might have annual expenses that come up. Holiday shopping season, the average person goes into debt well over $1,000 to afford the holidays. So rather than going into debt for it, why don't we just make it an automatic savings plan every month to start putting that certain amount away every single month? And this gets them into that mindset of paying yourself first and eventually getting to the point where they pay off enough debt, because a lot of our people that come in, they don't have enough money to say invest. I would personally say, hey, you got credit cards here that are 29%. You got a lot of debt here. Let's get those things knocked out because that's 29% automatically back in your pocket. Let's get those things taken care of. But then we can use that money to now start investing where you can use interest as a benefit rather than as a penalty. And so you want to focus on making that more automatic as you begin to get out of debt. It's a slow transition, but a lot of people start to begin to see, like, I could actually start using this money to invest for myself, even maybe starting to invest a little bit of money for my kids at a young age and starting to put that money aside. Usually at about the year to 18 month mark is where we start to see people coming and saying, asking questions, Brad, where do I go for investing? Because now that they've freed up enough cash flow in their monthly budget, they now see that I can start putting a lot more money away than I used to. And that's a really cool thing. So it's a gradual thing that it takes for them to get there, because when you're living paycheck to paycheck, I mean, every single dollar counts for a lot of these people. And eventually it's freeing up enough cash flow and paying off that debt to get them to be able to put that money for bigger emergency funds, investing goals, things like that.
In the example you used last, Brad, you talked about, okay, well, having a goal to save money for next year's holiday spending. Do you find it's best for people to compartmentalize their savings? Do you recommend people have, well, we would like to take a vacation each year. Here's our vacation account. Here's our holiday account. Here's our whatever. Do you recommend that? Or is that easier than just saying, okay, this is savings and it's a general savings for all things?
That's the way I do it. I love it. I'm a big fan of Ally Bank down here in the States. Ally Bank's got a cool system with their high yield savings account where they actually have buckets. You could put as much money in these high yields. You could put transfers in. You can say, when I transfer this amount into this, I want you to put it in these five bucket categories that I've created. And then whenever you're ready to transfer that money out, you can say, I want to transfer it from this bucket over to this account when you're ready to spend it.
Fantastic. That's super cool.
Yeah, really cool.
I love it. Super. Yeah. And it makes it very visual. So I'm a big fan. I'm not an affiliate of Ally. I just love them. I've gotten so many people signed up for them because of that little cool system. Because back in the day, you used to either have a spreadsheet that separated all that stuff out or a notepad of paper, or you had a bunch of different little savings accounts all set up. But now they've alleviated all of that kind of stuff with just this system of just having buckets. It's super awesome. But yeah, I would say budget separately. I think it's great. Put that stuff in your budget, intentionally saving for those things, creating those small short-term goals, even long-term savings goals, I think is really helpful, especially when avoiding impulsive and wasteful spending. Because when you got something bigger you're working towards, it's a lot easier to say no to those little purchases because we want this big thing out here in the future.
Right on.
Well, should we end with a couple of quick nondescript questions?
We should. Whenever we're talking with people that live in the States, we have some Canada-specific questions. You're relatively close.
I am.
So you may be able to handle some of these a little better.
We'll see.
Let me start with the first one. Do you ever wear a toque?
That would be a hat. Yeah, a winter hat.
Hey!
There you go.
Yes, I do.
Or is a beanie, as they call it in Southern California. Very good, very good.
Well, here's another one, maybe, Colin, in your area of expertise. So we were just talking about the Super Bowl. And in Canada, we have a championship game that happens every year with the Canadian Football League. What is the name of the championship trophy and game?
It's usually overcast that day. It's kind of gray that day.
That's right.
Usually on.
Ooh, I honestly, I don't know that
They
one.
Might play for a cup on a gray day.
The Grey Cup?
Yeah.
The Grey Cup. There you go. Excellent.
I got one for you, Greg.
Yes.
Because normally we ask our U.S. guests to spell Saskatchewan because we're both from Saskatchewan. I'm going to take Brad off the hook. I'm going to put you on the hook, Greg.
To spell what?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
What did you
did
say?
Did I nail it? I said it so fast that hopefully nobody could tell whether I was right.
Close enough.
There you go.
That was a lot of fun, Brad. We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. Greg, are we promoting the Debt-Free Dad podcast and the Debt-Free Dad material?
100%.
Of course.
Absolutely.
We are. Why wouldn't you go
exactly.
Check this out?
Awesome.
Great advice. Relevant to anyone, whether you are starting out or whether you've been trying to save for 30 or 40 years. So great stuff, Brad.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
I wish I would have had this conversation a few months ago before I realized I had 4 Amazon Prime subscriptions in my house.
Oh, no.
This would have been good information to have.
That's right. Awesome. Oh, man.
Thanks for your time, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch podcast hosted by the CM Group. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to markets-work.com. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch podcast. The CIBC logo and CIBC Private Wealth are registered trademarks of CIBC. If you are currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Private Wealth consists of services provided by CIBC and its subsidiaries, including CIBC Wood Gundy, a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc. CIBC Private Wealth is a registered trademark of CIBC used under license. Wood Gundy is a registered trademark of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Colin Andrews and Greg Kaminsky are investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy. This information, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. CIBC and CIBC World Markets, Inc., their affiliates, directors, officers, and employees may buy, sell, or hold a position in securities of a company mentioned herein, its affiliates, or subsidiaries, and may also perform financial advisory services, investment banking, or other services for or have lending or other credit relationships with the same. CIBC World Markets, Inc. and its representatives will receive sales commissions and or a spread between bid and ask prices if you purchase, sell, or hold the securities referred to above. CIBC World Markets, Inc. 2024.